All people. That means you too. Here at Central Christian Church, we want it to be very clear. We believe that God has good news for all people. Amen? And if you read or watch what's usually referred to as news these days, I'll bet you're with me when I say we could stand some good news in the world. Seems like news isn't news unless it's foreboding, depressing, or horrible. That makes it news. But the angel said he brought good news. And that's at the heart of the story that we're looking at in Luke 2 today. I'd like you to get your Bibles opened up to Luke 2. There is good news to be shared. For a few weeks now, we've been looking at different reasons that we have for the Christmas story to help us not be afraid. Today really is the culmination of all of that. The angel appeared to the shepherds there in Luke 2, verse 10, and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So if I could right away just give you one line to step out of here with today, it would include the title of this message, and it would be like this: don't be afraid, there's good news for everyone. I just want to peruse that good news this morning. I want to see, okay, what's so good about it? I'm glad you asked that. Here's what's so good about it. It is, first of all, a good news that comes across without an apology. A lot of people bring news with apologies. But there's no angel in Scripture that ever said, "I'm sorry." He brought the message. That's especially what angels do. Their name means, here it comes, messenger. So when angels show up, they bring a message. And when this angel shows up and scares the willies out of those shepherds in the field, he doesn't engage in apologies. "Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry for scaring you. Sorry for being so shiny. Sorry for being so terrifying. Sorry for interrupting your break." No, these terrifying beings are how God chose to announce the birth of Jesus. Heaven's wonder had just appeared on earth. So the announcement of that was going to involve some of heaven's wonder too. Now I'm speaking right now to people who are followers of Jesus already, and that's not everybody here this morning. When has anybody ever told you that you're to apologize for telling somebody the good news about Jesus? A few years ago, I sat in a room with fellow police chaplains downtown, and we were defining and reworking our charter as a chaplaincy. There were about 20 of us sitting around discussing what our role was as police chaplains. And when somebody among the group whose theology isn't really concerned with what the Bible has to say started to say, "Well, we should be careful not to offend people. For instance, when we pray, we shouldn't mention Jesus. Some people might be offended by the name of Jesus. And so when we do chaplaincy work, we ought to set aside our theology." Whew. Well, several of the guys around me were clearly not on board with that. I was not either. I kind of had the idea that when a chaplain comes into a situation, we're supposed to be bringing the presence of God into a bad situation and representing God to people and helping them with that. Well, that person with the "I don't care" theology actually got put in a leadership position. And that day kind of marked the beginning of the Rockford Police Chaplaincy falling to pieces a few years ago. We should never speak the good news of Jesus Christ apologetically. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite of how we're supposed to represent Him in the world. He doesn't want you to be ashamed to speak up for Him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Brothers and sisters, if the message that we had to share was a message of doom and gloom, I'd be ashamed of that. If the message that we have to share was based on a Bible that you can't trust because it's full of errors, or the message was that only certain people can be saved and we can hate the rest, or if the message was that you have to work really hard to earn your way into heaven and you'll never be sure if you're going to make it, or if it was that we shared that God is vulnerable and makes mistakes, or there's really no difference between right and wrong, or that Jesus was just a good man. If that was our message, I'd be ashamed of that. But that's not the message we get to share. We have a message that's good news. Amen? Why do we hesitate to share it? You've just won the lottery. $100 million. You have two winning tickets. But the rules of the lottery say you can only use one. So you've won $100 million and you've got another ticket to give away to somebody. Now, does somebody that you know and love, are they going to benefit from that? Could they use it? Are you going to give it to them? Or are you going to stand around and go, I don't know if I ought to say anything or not? That's the position that we're in once we cross over from death to life into Jesus Christ, isn't it? And for most of us, the only apology that we should have is that we haven't spoken more freely about Jesus before. Christmas makes such an easy time to talk about Jesus. You don't have to be belligerent or snarky to do it. Just because so many other people are tiptoeing around doesn't mean that you have to. So I want to encourage you this week. Go ahead and do it. Say, Merry Christmas. Go ahead and talk to somebody about what you're doing to celebrate the way that God took on human flesh and came to live in the world. Go ahead, put a cross in your window or your yard. Invite people to come with you Tuesday night at 5 o'clock at Central Christian Church to worship. Do you have good news or not? If you claim to follow Jesus, you do. And the angel said to these shepherds, I bring you good news. Literally, he said, I am good newsing you. That's where our word gospel comes from. You could say it this way, I am gospeling you. I wonder, have you gospeled somebody lately? Good news is a good thing to share, isn't it? And it's something that you don't have to apologize for. And it is also good because it undoes fear. Good news undoes fear. How scared were those shepherds when a shining angel lit up the night sky? Kind of like the guy in the video that we just watched said, don't be afraid. Too late. That happened. When heavenly beings appear to people on earth, fear is the normal response. Fear is what people usually do. If that sight doesn't strike some fear into your heart, something's wrong. And it is appropriate for us to have inside of us a fear of all things heavenly. In fact, scriptures tell us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and is a part of having a right attitude towards God in the first place. I think it's probably the lack of a proper respect for God. It's a lack of an appreciation for how we should be reverent before God that keeps a lot of people from submitting to Him in the first place. Losing a sense of awe and reverence from God stops people from worshiping Him right away. So when we talk about an angel showing up and saying not to be afraid, I think that we could uninclude the kind of fear where we see the glory of God and it scares us. Go ahead, keep that fear, or find that fear. It looks good on you. The fear that this good news really undoes is the fear that looks at tomorrow and has no hope. Step back nearly 2,000 years. These shepherds were people who lived day to day. Their people's history was over 2,100 years old, but the past couple hundred years before that time had been filled with stories of violent takeovers and revolts. Finally, around 63 BC, the revolt under the Maccabees was crushed by Pompey of Rome, putting Judea under control of the Caesars. Eventually, Herod was made king of Judea. Herod the Great, you know, one of the players in the Christmas story. And the Roman Emperor and Senate put him in a position to be over Judea. Roman, Greek, and Hebrew cultures were so intermingled in the land of Judea that when a description of Jesus was put over him on the cross as he was crucified, remember, it was put in three languages, Greek and Hebrew and Latin. It was not a happy melting pot. They were difficult times to live in just because of that atmosphere. And when you're a Jew living in those political circumstances, living under the thumb of the Roman Empire, there's a fearful uncertainty that clouds every day. Think of it like this. It's close enough to home, close enough to our time. Think about being a Jew during the beginnings of the Holocaust from the Nazis. And think of being in Austria or Poland under Nazi occupation, where people who are in power hate you and have no respect for your worth. They're in a position to shame you, and they take advantage of you anytime they wish. Think of being in that place. How fearful would you be to walk the streets, to resist the powers that be? How hesitant would you be to plan for your future, to look forward to the days that are ahead? That's a lot like the world these shepherds woke up to every day. They were simple Jewish men trying to eke out a living day by day in a world that was filled with poverty and disease and injustice. We don't know what that's like. I walked into a superstore the other day, laid down 19 bucks, and got a shot in the arm so I won't get a disease, a flu. It's working so far. We don't live in the world these men lived in. They were waiting for a great deliverer that they had read and heard about all of their lives, but they still didn't see it happening. This Christmas season, when you hear the dark minor key and hear the somber words of a song that goes, O come, Emmanuel, remember the background to that song. That's what's behind all this. That night, in the fields outside of Bethlehem, representatives from heaven brought the message of hope that undoes the fear of an empty and fearful future. Emmanuel was here. How I wish every person here today could have an angel come to your place tonight and tell you not to fear your situation, just like the three ghosts of the Christmas carol, to tell you not to worry about your past, your present, and your future because of the good news that undoes fear. I'm not nearly as interesting as an angel, but I do have the privilege to say that this morning, and so do you, that God came to live among us, that the Messiah came and brought to earth something that no human could do for us. That is our source of hope. That's where peace on earth comes from, and that is the good news that you and I get to share. And you know what? It gets even better. It's good news because it includes every person. I won't go into a long description of the social standing of shepherds. Some of that is a little bit debated, but let's just say they weren't the kind of people that you invited to black tie dinners in the first century. They did dirty, smelly outside work. They weren't way up on the list of who's who in society. They were simple guys. So when God became flesh, why tell that to shepherds? There's some ideas out there about that. Why tell it to shepherds? Well, Jesus said he was the good shepherd. Maybe. Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? Maybe they were the only people who were up that night. Maybe later it was known they would just make great characters in Christmas plays later on. I want to suggest to you this morning that by announcing Jesus' birth to shepherds first, God was making a powerful statement. You see, Jesus wasn't just here for rich people. Jesus wasn't here just for people in positions of power, not just for the socially regarded. Emptying himself from heaven and taking on the helpless form of a baby was just the starting point. Jesus was born while Mary was away from home. He was born to peasant parents under humanly questionable conditions. There was nothing desirable about the way he looked. He grew up with no place to call home, nowhere to lay his head. He associated with outcasts and nobodies. Throughout his ministry, he was reaching out to tax collectors and drunks and prostitutes, disabled people, diseased people, people possessed with demons. He died the humiliating death of a criminal, hanging between two thieves, and when he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. So when God in the flesh came and was placed in an animal feeding trough in the little town of Bethlehem, is it really any surprise that God chose shepherds out in the fields to be the first ones to hear about it? Sure, listen to the message itself. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. But listen also to the fact that the greatest message that day on earth was given first to common people. The good news of the gospel includes every person. That's part of the reason it's good news. Sometimes you'll hear people putting down the message of Jesus because it's so exclusive. Christianity is so exclusive. I want to tell you this morning, nothing could be farther from the truth. And people who say that life in Jesus and being a part of his church is all about being exclusive just haven't read what it says. Take a look through the scriptures and very quickly look up the words whoever and anyone. Everyone gets a lot of press in scripture. I've got to throw some verses up this morning. Matthew 18:4, whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 4, Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. Look at John 7, verse 37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Paul wrote in Romans 9, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. John wrote again in chapter 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the Son, the child born of him. Do you see a pattern? The good news includes every person. So why do we hesitate to tell it to every person? I suppose there are a lot of reasons that a believer might hesitate to share the good news with somebody. There's probably the fear of rejection, right? The fear of not having all the right answers. The fear of humiliation. The fear of somehow having less for ourselves when other people create needs among us. Do you hear a theme there? Fear. And today we're looking at the message of an angel again. And the very first thing he says is, do not be afraid. Our hesitation to tell other people reminds me of a story from 2 Kings chapter 7. There in 2 Kings 7, the city of Jerusalem has been under siege for quite some time by the Arameans. Things are getting really hard inside the city. Everyone is locked up behind the walls, starving, except for four men who can't really come into the city because they have leprosy. And so they're just kind of hanging around at the gate of the city. Nobody wants to get near them anyway. These guys, these four lepers, finally figure they're going to die whether they stay in the city and they're starved or they're killed by the Arameans. So they look at each other and say, you know what? Let's just surrender. Let's just go to the enemy, and if they kill us, we're going to die anyway. But if they let us live, hey, we lived. I'm paraphrasing. So the four of them at dusk go walking into the enemy camp. And when they get there, it's empty. God had created the sound of a big army, and it scared the Arameans. So they all, thinking they were going to die, fled for their lives and left everything behind. There it sat. And these four lepers walk into that camp. No one's there. So they went into a tent, it says, and they ate and drank. And then they gathered a bunch of gold and silver and clothes and went out and hid it somewhere. And then they came back and went to another tent. And they found some more stuff. And they went out and hid it somewhere. And then it says in verse 9, they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they did. I think that people who have heard the good news about Jesus and then don't share it with others are a lot like those men. Our natural tendency, isn't it? Our human tendency is to eat and drink, to gorge ourselves and to hoard and to be glad for ourselves and then to be so glad for ourselves that we forget that there is a city that's starving. Starving to know what we have learned. And brothers and sisters, what we need to do is look at each other and say, what we are doing is not right. You know, the shepherds were not only the first humans to have the birth of Jesus announced to them, they seem also to be the first humans to share that good news with somebody else. Chapter 2, verse 18, look what they did. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. I don't speak for the entire church body here today, but I think I speak for a lot of us when I say to you who aren't yet followers of Jesus, please forgive us for not sharing the good news sooner. Sometimes we forget that we were in a bad situation. Somehow we heard the good news, the best news, and it changed our lives. And now, just like those shepherds who would never be the same, we want to tell you about the one who was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in cloths, laid in a manger. And when we think about it and all that it means to us, it really does give us the greatest reason to be unafraid, doesn't it? Wouldn't you like to be there too this morning, this Christmas season? Wouldn't you like to be there unafraid of death? Right now, I'd like everybody that's here today who is already a believer in Christ to make this a time that you would start praying. I'm going to ask you, please, to just stand up, all of us together. And if you're already a follower of Jesus, you're already somebody that's heard that good news and responded to it, would you right now just start praying? Not necessarily out loud, but just would you start praying? Pray that the Lord would impress upon you and me the need to share that news with others. And would you pray for people who here among us today haven't yet accepted Jesus? Would you pray that that message would get through to them? And I want to tell you, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, as this group of people stands and prays for you here today, this is really what we're about at Central Christian Church. We're people who've heard the good news, and just like those shepherds, we want to be faithful in telling other people so that they can know about it too. The Lord has given us life in Jesus, and we want to bring along as many people as we can with us. And we want right now to pray for you and that decision in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for good news. We thank you that it's something that we can share with no apology, something that takes away fear. But Lord, especially as we look at the story of these simple men in the fields, we understand better that that message is for every person, not just for those who sit in palaces, but for those who work in fields at night. Father, thank you. Thank you that the message is something that brings us together rather than divides us. Thank you that it is not our own doing. We look upon the whole Christmas story, Father, and it is amazing to us, not because of something that mankind has done, but amazing because of your plan being carried out, being found laid in a manger in Bethlehem. Father, we do pray today that decisions will be made for you, decisions by we who already follow Jesus, that we would be more careful, more deliberate to share the good news, and also, Father, decisions today to become your children, to follow you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.